But still, the point I'm trying to get at in this lecture is the pattern that's very widespread and goes back to our early childhood experience, by which women are both expected to talk more in the private situation and expected to talk less in the public situation, and also are more comfortable, perhaps, on their own speaking in the private situation rather than the public situation. The challenge is that even when women themselves are quite comfortable speaking up in the public situation, that then they do run the risk of being told that they're talking too much. In fact, very interesting research shows that if women and men speak equally, people think the woman has spoken more. And that's because they seem to be judged by the expectation of how much women and men are expected to speak. In any case, we can see that the experience that boys have as children growing up among their peers may give them more preparation for what we're calling public speaking in the workplace. Another interesting aspect of the training that we get as children and the different abilities that we have to speak in private and to speak in public is that over time, we pay attention to things that we know we're going to use in future conversation. So one woman, for example, told me in talking about her boyfriend that a problem they had in the relationship was her boyfriend's bad memory, by which she meant that when she tried to go over conversations they had had, he always claimed not to remember what he had said and what she had said. It does seem to be true that many men are not as good as many women at remembering conversations, so that a woman might ask a man, what did he say, what did she say, and he'll say, well, I don't know, he's okay, or, and what she wants is a blow-by-blow, and he said, and I said, and he said, and she said, and this is how she said it. The reason, I believe, is that they're not as used to having conversations where they are called upon to recount conversations in that detailed way. Because women know that they're going to have conversations with their friends where they're going to recount conversations, they therefore pay more attention to them in the first place. And the same may apply to remembering facts that you will later recount. The terms I sometimes use to capture these kinds of talking is report talk on the one hand, which is talk about factual information where one person is holding the floor for an extended period of time, versus rapport talk, which is usually about private conversation in which there's a back and forth. And it seems that because women are more used to having what I would call rapport talk, that's R-A-P-P-O-R-T, where you're building rapport, and men are more accustomed to having conversations you might call report talk, where they're putting forth information in a more monologic sort of way, it means that they are more likely to pay attention to that information in the first place, storing it up so they can later give it out in report talk, just as those who like to tell jokes are better at remembering them. Summing up here, I want to make it clear that nothing that I have said in this lecture is intended to imply that women don't belong in the public sphere or that they can't be extremely good at public speaking. Nor am I trying to imply that no men like to tell in detail how their day was. And once again, ethnic and cultural differences certainly play a role in everything that I've discussed. Nonetheless, there is a pattern that we can observe if we look at the research that has been done by others as well as my own research. There is a pattern that we can discern by observation of how women and men actually use language in their everyday lives, that women seem to provide more of the talk in a situation that we would call private speaking, that is about personal topics with people they know well, and men seem to be the ones who talk more in what we might call public speaking situations, and that would be where one person speaks at greater length and is imparting information in a public setting where the audience is larger and it's made up of people that they may not know as well. The historical perspective was particularly interesting here because it supported the finding that not too long ago, women were actually forbidden to speak in public. And we know from anthropologists, Sherry Ortner is one who has written about this, that in many cultures of the world where anthropologists have observed, they found that men do more of the public speaking, for example, in religious rituals or political meetings, and women are either by custom or by practice barred from speaking in those contexts. In the next lecture, I'm going to again be looking at the historical perspective, but this time I'll be looking at the history of research on language and gender.